We're looking into the Word. The last few weeks we've been looking at prayer and giving you some guidelines on prayer. If you've missed those messages, they are available on tape. Simply fill out one of the forms in the pew in front of you, or in front of the office is a plastic container holding those request forms, and we only charge $1 per tape because we aren't here to make money. We are here to minister, and that's our desire. So please take care of that. I always regret when somebody misses part of a series because it's like missing a chain in the links, a link in the chain. And if you miss those things, you might misunderstand something. So make sure that you have those things. This morning, we're looking at an important part of our prayer lives. It's an important part, and my heart is burdened by it. I've been ministering in this area for a number of years now. And as I prepared this message, I realized that this is Communion Sunday, and I will not finish the message because I want us to celebrate communion together. And so be advised that we're going to pick it up next week wherever we leave off this week. That bumps our schedule a little bit, but I think it will be helpful to us. We're looking at spending time with God. Spending time with God. I had a lady that came to my office one day, and she had been there a number of times and was going through some emotional difficulties. And as she was there, she began to cry, and I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "My husband doesn't love me anymore." And I know her husband. He participates in our church services and was part of our ministry teams. And so I assured her, I said, "Well, I know him, and he loves you. I've never heard him say anything bad about you." And she wept some more, and she says, "No, I'm certain of it. Our marriage is dying, and he doesn't love me anymore." So after that meeting, I called him on the phone, and I said, "Peter, would you come in? I need to talk to you." So I had he and his wife come in together. And as I sat them together, I looked to Peter and I said, "Peter, I need you to look at," and I'll give her a different name so she's innocent in this, "I need you to look at Mary and tell her what your heart really feels." And then I told him that Mary was going through a situation where she felt unloved, unappreciated, and that love was gone from their marriage. Peter was shocked, and he looked over at his wife. You could see the sad puppy dog eyes as he looked at her with great compassion and affection. He said, Mary, I love you as much as I ever have. I love you more than the day that we first met and the day that we were married. It has grown deeper and richer every day. I love your smile. And it makes my life. I love your hair and the beautiful shimmer to it. I love the glimmer in your eyes when you look at me." Bobby started to sob and to shake. She looked up between her tears and she said, "But Peter, how come you haven't told me that?" They had been married 25 years. It had been a long time since Peter said, "I love you, and I'd love to spend time with you." Most of us begin our Christian lives as a romantic encounter. We fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear the story of His dying on the cross for our sins, and God works within us and moves us to compassion and realize that He died in our place on that cross, and our hearts are broken, and we fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to come in and be our Savior, and He comes in and He fellowships with us. But something happens in that relationship, just like it happens in many marriages, that unless you spend time with the one that you love, that love grows cold. That love, although you may perceive it does not change, has changed in its attitude and its actions, and it's changed dramatically for the recipient of that love. We as Christians are born again not just to get us to heaven. If you have an idea that God only wants to take you to heaven and that's why he sent his son, you've cheated the gospel. The gospel is so that you might have a relationship with God, that I might have fellowship with him. The scripture tells us that Abraham was the friend of God. Enoch walked with God. And that's the example for all of us. God calls us to be saved, yes, to deliver us from hell and to take us to heaven. But in the process, he wants to have a relationship with us, a love relationship. He wants to walk with us. He wants us to walk with him. I want to read several scripture passages as we begin this morning, because I want the word to echo in your mind and heart. We have it on overhead. It's from the New International Version, so follow along. They're excerpts from different passages that emphasize the same theme, that God loves you and wants to spend time with you. From Psalm 91, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest under the shadow of the Almighty." The shelter of the Most High is the secret romantic place that God has ordained for you and me. Psalm 84, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." Psalm 42, "As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go? Where can I go? Or when can I go and meet with God?" Psalm 37, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also to him, and he will bring it to pass. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently before him." Then a third set of verses, Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." And finally, Psalm 63, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning we want you to speak to our hearts about our love relationship with you. Lord, we want to examine our hearts as to whether we are spending time with you in intimate fellowship and building that love relationship. And so we ask you to discern that and reveal to us, Lord, if there's some failure on our part. If we are not walking with you, if we are not communing with you, if we are not in a love relationship, make that plain. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you a question. What is the love of your life? What is the love of your life? Someone this morning mentioned a football game that's to take place this evening. What is the love of your life? I don't mean what you say the love of your life is, but what is the love of your life? I have a love in my life, and I want to tell you a story about that love. This is good for all the unmarried people among us. I'm going to tell you about my romancing of my wife, Marilyn. She's not here today, so I can talk freely. Like I don't other times. My wife and I first met when we went to college. We were freshmen in the same class. I was not particularly attracted to her. She was attractive, and she had all kinds of guys chasing after her. But I had my eyes for other girls, and I was chasing after them. Until about the second year that we were in school, we were friends. We talked a lot, and we shared about boyfriends and girlfriends, and we even prayed together about those kinds of things. But it wasn't until Marilyn and I were on the same gospel team, and we became singers in a musical group, and we traveled to different cities. And we spent some weeks traveling together and singing together, and then long hours traveling in that van together. And we began to realize that there was more to this relationship than just, how are you? And there was more than just chit-chat about the others in our lives. I remember one particular instance where Marilyn was in the car, and in the long drive she had a pillow and she had her head up against it and she was sound asleep. And I was going to put that on the PowerPoint, but I thought maybe that would embarrass her. But it's a beautiful picture, and I snapped a snapshot of it, and I've kept that all these years. I realized in my heart that that was the moment I fell in love with that girl. And I looked at that face and I said, that is a face I can live with the rest of my life. Well, we ended up in Michigan on that tour and at my sister's place. And I remember being on her back porch, and we were walking down the steps. And that's where my sister took this picture. Aren't they sweet? Could they ever be that young? But we took a long walk after that, and while we took that long walk, I started to think, maybe this is the girl that I'd like to live the rest of my life with. We finished that tour and got back to college, and it came the moment I had to define my relationship with Marilyn, because she was dating another guy. And he was a friend of mine. Ooh. And he still is. But it came time to define the relationship. So Marilyn and I took a long walk after supper at the college, and we ended up near a stone fence, and we stood there, and I turned to her and I said, Marilyn, I need to define something. And I'll put it into the terms that we had that day. It's different than your terms today. Marilyn, I'd like to go steady with you. I know it's it's like you saying, I want to go out with you. But that was the idea. I want you to meet my girl. But to do that, you have to drop the other guys. Because she not only had a boyfriend, they weren't going steady or anything, quote, unquote, but she had a lot of guys chasing her. And I said, I can't have this relationship and compete with other people. I'm committing my love. I didn't say love. I'm committing myself to you. We would build this relationship, but it's going to require that you break it off with Peter. Well, she did. She broke it off. And that year, we had a wonderful year. Tremendous time of taking walks around the campus at NIAC. Beyond the campus, we walked around the mountain, a five-mile walk. And I lost track how many times we walked. Now, I grew up as a shy kid, and I didn't talk very much, but on those walks, Marilyn and I talked about everything. We held hands, and we talked, and we talked, and we talked. And I remember one particular moment as we came to the end of that school year. It was exam time. Don't follow my example. It was exam time, and I knew that Marilyn would be leaving in just a few short hours. And we'd finished those exams and wouldn't see each other for the summer, and so I wrestled with it. There was a history exam, and I was acing that history. I was going to pull an A easily. All I had to do was finish the exam. And I decided, but I need to spend time with Marilyn. And so we took another walk around the mountain. And it took a long time. And I got back and tried to cram for that history test. And I remember the history test the next day, sitting there, and all I could think about was Marilyn. And I would guess that all my answers were Marilyn, Marilyn, Marilyn. Something happened to me. I felt madly in love with this girl. I couldn't think about anything else. Matter of fact, Marilyn gave me a picture of herself around that time. It was about an 8x10 picture, and I put it in my room. And the guys in the dorm would walk by, and you'd hear the brakes put on. They'd be going by the room and they'd go, come back and look and say, whoa, she gave you that? It's got to be serious. Well, I didn't ace that course. Got a B plus and it's Marilyn's fault. But you know, I wouldn't trade that for the world. Because I was in love with her. We went our separate ways in Maryland to New York, where she had a job, and I went back to Michigan and tried to find a job and struggled between jobs. And Marilyn and I would get on the phone and talk to each other, and I realized at the end of the first week that I couldn't afford to have $150 phone bills every week. So I sat down with my dad, and we talked about finances, and I said, Dad, I don't know what to do. You got me the job here in the factory where I'm working. It's good pay and everything else, but man, I got to be near my girl. I got to be near Marilyn. I know I can get a job back in New York, and would you think it would be all right if I just quit and go back to New York? My dad, with a twinkle in his eye, said, Dick, it's your life. You have my blessing. Go back and find a job in New York. And I did. And so I could be near the one I love. I tell you that story because it's a story of romance. As I look at that picture today and I look at my wife today, that love has never diminished. It has grown. My wife's not home right now. She's traveling to a wedding. But every moment of every day, I'm thinking of my wife. Can't wait till she gets home so we can talk about all those things. And I don't like to hear about weddings, but I gladly hear about weddings if Marilyn's telling it. God wants to have that relationship with you, that kind of relationship that is deep love. My friends, college students, single people, if you don't love the person you're going to marry like that, don't get married. Someone defined it for me and said, if you can't possibly live without her, marry her. But if you could live without her, don't marry her. You can't live without the Lord. If you think you could survive in this life and be happy in this life without the Lord, I question whether you've ever fallen in love with Him. For to know Him is to love Him, and God calls us to walk with Him. He calls us to a relationship that's going to continue beyond this life and right up into heaven. Most of us forget that. We're looking for streets of gold and mansions of glory and all this other stuff. But heaven is really going to be about Jesus. It's going to be about you being able to walk and talk with Him and fellowship with Him. What if heaven were, for the first year, nothing but Jesus and you? Would you enjoy it? You see, God wants us to fall in love and nurture that love relationship with Him so that when we leave this life and go to heaven, we're not strangers there. I want to share with you this morning and just begin to share with you about intimacy with God and about how to spend time with God. The first thing I want to note is we need a time for love. If you're in love, you need to spend some time with the lover of your soul. You need to spend time with the Lord. If you say you love Him, then act like it. Don't be like Peter that I referred to, who didn't tell Mary that he loved her. Yeah, they lived together for 25 years. They were married. They had all the externals of it, but something was missing. Some love grew cold. And you know, the Lord talks about that in His Word. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, God says, can a woman forget her, can a bride forget her ornaments? But my people have forgotten me days without number. You forgot about your nurturing that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You put it on the back shelf, and it's not really a relationship that you're working on. It's a relationship that's established, but you kind of put it on hold. God calls you to spend some time in this love relationship. We as God's people need to plan a rendezvous with God. You know, Marilyn and I used to have rendezvous. Meet me outside the girls' dorm. 9 o'clock, and we'll go for a long walk. I remember the day that we went for a long walk, and we had just spent 2 weeks of roller coaster ride in our relationship. And we decided that in order to determine whether God was blessing this as a permanent relationship, we needed to stay apart. And we said, for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks, we won't talk to each other. For 2 weeks, we won't walk together. For 2 weeks, we won't eat together. For 2 weeks, we'll just pray and seek the Lord. You know how long that lasted? It lasted about a day and a half. Till both of us just saw each other and ran to each other and said, I can't stand this. I can't live without you. And then we had those quiet walks. And my mom taught me something when I was growing up. I don't know if you should do this in your life or not. You might. My mom said, Dick, don't ever tell a girl you love her until you're ready to marry her. And so I held that. I said, Lord, I'm not going to tell anybody that I love them. I always said, I like you very, 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 very much. And I like you, but not love you. And I remember one day, Marilyn knew about this covenant with the Lord, and I stood by a wall with her. And she was in my arms. I shouldn't tell you all that stuff, right? And we were just talking and whispering. And I looked at her, I looked in her eyes, and I knew I was going to say it. I had prayed it through. And I said, Marilyn, I love you. And Marilyn knew of this covenant. She looked right back at me very quickly, and she went, are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. And of course, she responded to that, and she says, does that mean what I think it means? Yes, it does. I want you to be my wife. You know, sometime or other, we need to define the relationship. And it's defined not just by words, but by the time we spend together. We as God's people need to determine that we're going to plan to rendezvous with our God. I want to give you a couple suggestions for meeting with the Lord in the secret place. The first one is daily. Jesus, the Word of God tells us, got up early many mornings. Doesn't say every morning, but many mornings. He got up before it was dawn so he could spend time with his Heavenly Father. I know you're not a morning person, perhaps. So maybe morning doesn't work. But the intended purpose of that is getting alone with the one you love so that you can nurture that fellowship, that you can have intimate times with him and him alone. God is zealous to have time with you and with me. He's jealous over us as a wife is over a husband or as a husband is over a wife. Yet Jeremiah laments, my people have left me days without number. They have forgotten me, the fountain of living waters, and they've carved out cisterns that can't hold water. They've substituted God for something else in their rendezvous. God wants to have time every day with us, and I want to suggest to you that maybe you can't do an hour every morning at 6 o'clock. But maybe every week you could determine before the Lord that, Lord, at least once a week I'm getting up very early in the morning to spend more time with you. Do you love him? Don't just say you love him. Love him and love to spend time with him. The second suggestion would be at the noon hour. If you're not a morning person, and some of you aren't, I'm curious, how many of you are morning people? Raise your right hand real quick. God have mercy on you. No. Some people, how many are not morning people? Raise your left hand. See, it takes a while for you to wake up. All right, good. We're about half and half. If you're not a morning person, make your love rendezvous at lunchtime. You know, you could spend a lunch hour with the Lord and it can be just as rich as an early morning time with God. Yet the problem is we get so much into our functioning and running and doing the activities and going to our businesses, we're in love with something else. We don't have the time to pause and refresh ourselves in God's presence. God longs for that. Take some time to spend with him at the lunch hour. Or maybe you're an evening person, and I would suggest that in the evenings, there are times that you can spend with the Lord in the evening. You probably watch television, if not every evening, many evenings. And you could switch that thing off. And I heard a great suggestion recently by a man of God. He said they have a silent hour once a week from 8 o'clock until midnight. From 8 o'clock until midnight, there's no radio, there's no television, there's no stereos, nothing except you and the Lord. And so the husband and wife, after the children are in bed, go to different parts of the house, and they just soak up time with God, reading His Word. They may listen to Scripture being read to them. They may even use earphones for quiet worship, but they're spending the time in building that love relationship. And the fourth way to spend some time with God is what I will expand on next week, and that is spend a day away with the Lord. To take time with God, and I suggest to people sometimes it could be an all-day Saturday where you just sanctify Saturday from 9 a.m. to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or whatever time you can mark out and you go away to be with God. I did that not long ago, and I happened to go to Moraine State Park, and I took a notebook with me. It was a beautiful day, and I just saturated the day with the Lord. Had wonderful walks and talks with Him. I sang out there in the woods. I sat on a picnic table and did my journaling and studied the Word. I walk away from that saying, wow, Lord, this is fantastic. Let's do this every week. I know you won't. But it's nice to walk away from it saying, I love this fellowship with God. It's wonderful. Got a couple slides, and we're just going to jump to those each one. There's a plan for your love relationship, and I want to share that with you next week. There's a plan for your love relationship that I've used for about 15 years or more, and it helps me develop that relationship with God. If you're going to miss next week, then you'll have to come to me, and I'll preach this all by myself to you. And then the next slide, the personal prayer retreats. I want to coach you on how to do that. And then finally, when we end next week, I want to put before you as a congregation, and brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to leave you a challenge to spend time with God. College students, no reason why you can't spend a day alone with God. And I want to challenge you, and I'm going to bring a challenge that's doable. And it's a challenge where we're going to help you to spend time with God. Men and women of this congregation, we're going to give you the same kind of challenge and give you the opportunity. Husbands, I want every husband to stand up real quick. You forgot. You can't remember if you are. Okay, there you go. Husbands, I want you in this process to give your wife a chance to get away for a whole day. You may sit down. Wives, stand up real quick. You don't remember either. I want you to determine that you're going to give permission for your husband to go away for a whole day in prayer. And yeah, husbands are a little stubborn, so you're going to have to kick him out of the house. You may be seated. But I want to take this and I want to make it really serious, because remember how we began this series. It began my ministry in this church 4 years ago. God put it in my heart that He wants to make this a praying church. He wants to make this His church, not my church. He said, this house shall be called a house of prayer. And we make it everything else. How's your love relationship with the Lord? Is it rich and wonderful? Is it fantastic? Or is it kind of cool? God's Word calls that lukewarm. And it needs to be heated up. As we serve communion today, I want you to take communion this morning as a reigniting of your love relationship with Christ. As you take the bread and take the cup, ask the Lord to do a new work in you, to renew that loving relationship that once was bright and hot, and make it all it should be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in these quick moments together, oh Lord, there's so much more we want to share. Lord, we want to be people of love, people that really love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul and all of our strength. And Lord, when the reality comes to us, we have to admit that many times that's not true. We don't love you with all that we are. We love you in words, but not in deeds. So Lord, as we come to the altar this morning, as we come to the table of the Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for these failings in our love relationship. And renew a right spirit within us, Lord, a love relationship that's deep and hot and rich and wonderful. Make us what you want us to be. In Jesus' name.